Welcome on into the Jazz Talk Podcast. I'm your host, CJ Dieters. The NBA free agency has been going for about 4 days now, and the Jazz have been relatively quiet so far. We will get into what the Jazz have done so far, and then the tons of rumors that have been going on with the Jazz, and the trade ideas that I have. Could there be a Damian Lillard trade? Could there be a Jrue Holiday trade? We'll get into that. So, to start off, free agency started on June 30th, around 6 p.m. So, it's July 3rd today, so it's only been like 3.5 days. And a lot has happened. A ton has happened. Those first 2 days were insane, and in the Wasatch Basketball Podcast, I'll get more into what happened with all the other teams and how drastically different the NBA looks right now. But first, let's talk about what the Jazz have done. So as I talked about in the last episode, the Jazz brought in John Collins on a trade, and basically, what the Jazz had to trade away to get John Collins was the equivalence of like a can of soda and bag of chips. I mean, they gave away nothing to get John Collins. And John Collins, when at his best, is a playoff, or not a playoff, a fringe all-star level player. I mean, for most of his career, he has been for most of his career, he's been around 16 points a game and 8 rebounds. He did have one season where he was, where he averaged 21 points per game and 10 rebounds. But here we can look. So last year was a little bit of a down year for him. He just didn't fit great with Trae Young, DeJounte Murray, and everything that the Hawks had going there. So he was 13.6 and a half boards. The year before, 16 points, 8 boards. The year before that, 17 and a half points, 7.5 boards. And then the year before that was the 21.6 points, 10 boards. Before that, 19.5 and 10. And the year before that was his rookie year, which he averaged 10 and 7. So the Jazz already found a really great piece to go next to Lauri Markkanen and Walker Kessler as part of their big future. Going into free agency, one of the biggest questions that the Jazz had was, what is Jordan Clarkson going to do? He could opt out, become a free agent, and re-sign with the Jazz, or he's free to sign with anyone else. What he ended up deciding to do was opt into his contract, and now it's not official yet, but it looks like the Jazz have worked out a renegotiation and an extension of that contract. So basically, he was scheduled to make $14.5 million if he picked up that option. So what the Jazz are going to do, it looks like they are agreeing on a 3-year $55 million, and it looks like the Jazz are going to do a balloon payment basically in this year, and then have much lower level of salary the next 2 years after that. So basically the 14 and a half this year is going to turn into, again, we don't have the official numbers, but let's say 25 million. So then you got to fill out 30 million for the other 2 years to get to 55. So it could be like 25, 15, 15. So you give him this big balloon payment to get him his money, get him paid, make him feel appreciated, and then you get him to a salary number that is probably a little lower than what he is actually worth. Coming into this offseason, I had him somewhere 18 to 22 million is what I thought he was going to end up getting. And at 3 years, 55, that's basically what it is. 18 million would be 3 years, 54, so basically right around there. But the Jazz using this balloon payment, because they had the available cap space, will again allow them to pay the majority or a big amount of the contract in this first year, and then make the years after that work better for the team to where they can fill out the roster better, without him having a few extra $1 million on those years, which would prevent, let's say 3, 4, 5 million, in those years that you don't have to pay him now. So the Jazz going forward now have Walker Kessler, Lauri Markkanen, John Collins, and Jordan Clarkson. And then they have a lot of pieces from there. Good players too. Players that other teams probably would like to have. Colin Sexton, Talen Horton-Tucker, Kelly Olynyk, Ochai Agbaji, Chris Dunn. I could see teams wanting Simone Fontecchio, and then you add on top of that the three rookies that they just drafted. This is a team where they basically have a decision to make right now is we can go in into the season with this team we have, and just see how it goes, see if Sexton or Horton Tucker can take over as the point guard and hopefully, you can win a lot of games with this team. Or do you put some of these pieces together to try and go get one big piece? Along with all the draft picks they have a ton of draft picks. I think they have three still with the Cavaliers. I think they have still another three with the Timberwolves. They have the Lakers 2027 first round pick. They have all of their own picks except for 2024, which they owe to the Thunder. And they have pick swaps from the Timberwolves and the Cavaliers. So they have a lot of ammo. They have a lot of pieces that other teams could like. Especially if you are trading away like a superstar level player. If you can't get a superstar level player in return, what you'd like is a few players that can play within your rotation that can help kind of make up for the loss of the superstar and then picks to hopefully be able to draft in the future that next superstar. So that brings me to the rumors, or not even rumors, the Damian Lillard trade request. Damian Lillard, news came out that he met with the Trailblazers this last Monday, and they basically agreed that they would get through the full off season, and then Damian would see what they do with the team, and then he would make a decision on if he was gonna request a trade or not, or if he was gonna stick around with this group. Well, we get through that first night of free agency, and the Portland Trailblazers signed Jeremy Grant to this massive 5 years, $160 million deal the very next morning at like 6 a.m. my time. Damian's requested a trade, which is definitely not the full off season that he said he was going to give the Trailblazers to figure it out. But he's on the market. Now he really wants to go to the Heat, but he doesn't have a no trade clause like Bradley Beal had, so the Trailblazers can really trade him to whatever team they feel like, whatever is the best deal for them. Now there has been, according to Tony Jones, there's been conversations within the Jazz about the possibility of going in and trying to get Damian Lillard. The framework for a deal like that, you're looking at, Colin Sexton, Talen Horton-Tucker, Kelly Olynyk, Ochai Agbaji, and a bunch of picks. Some combination of that to go get him. Which could work great. I mean, Damian Lillard last season averaged 32 points a game, 5 boards, 7 assists. Shot 46% from the field, 37% from three, 91% from the free throw line. I mean, he was amazing. Should have been in the MVP conversations, except for he missed a good amount of games due to injury. And the Trailblazers just weren't that good last year. But I do think that the Jazz can get involved in a Damian Lillard trade. I just don't know if taking back Damian Lillard is the best way to do it. So Damian Lillard wants to go to the Heat. The biggest piece that the Heat have to offer is Tyler Hero. The Trailblazers have said that they're not really that enthralled with getting back Tyler Hero. So my thought is that the Jazz become the third team in a trade to help facilitate everything. The Trailblazers also would like to get off of Yusuf Nurkic's contract for the future, just to help them kind of clear the books and build this new team that they are around Scoot Henderson, Shaedon Sharpe, maybe Anfernee Simons, and I guess Jeremy Grant as well. Now that he's signed there for 5 years, but I imagine at the trade deadline they'll probably find a way to get off of him, maybe the next offseason. And so the idea I have for that is the Jazz take back Tyler Hero, since the Portland Trailblazers aren't too, keen on bringing him back. And then you also take on the contract of Yusuf Nurkic. This is how you get the Heat and the Trailblazers to agree on this contract, is the Jazz will take on the Nurkic contract. That's the piece that they'll do. They'll help facilitate all this. So the trade that I kind of have proposed would be Damian Lillard to the Heat, Tyler Hero to the Jazz, Duncan Robinson from the Heat to the Trailblazers, three first round picks from the Heat to the Trailblazers, and Nikola Jovic, their young forward that they drafted last year, to the Heat as well as Caleb Martin, who is a very useful role player for the Heat this last year. A big piece of a big reason as to why they made it to the NBA Finals. So that would leave the Heat with Damian Lillard, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, and then just the other pieces that they have around there. So Kevin Love, and that Heat team's lost a lot. They lost Max Strus and Gabe Vincent. So, and they traded away Victor Oladipo. So you're left with Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, and Damian Lillard. Those three together, I think, are enough. If you add some solid role players around them, that could win a championship. That is an extremely talented team, and you have two absolute killers that can take over a game at the end of at the end of a game in both Damian Lillard and Jimmy Butler. And then, so the Trailblazers have now received in this trade have received Duncan Robinson and Nikola Jovic, and then three first round picks from the Trailblazers. From the Jazz, they will receive Colin Sexton, Talen Horton-Tucker, and Kelly Olynyk, along with a 2025 first round pick from the Cleveland Cavaliers, which the Jazz own. So now the Trailblazers, you get to build your team around Scoot Henderson, Anfernee Simons, Shaedon Sharpe, Jeremy Grant. You get a solid veteran in Kelly Olynyk to kind of be the adult in the room and guide these guys. Talen Horton-Tucker is still only 22 and a half years old, and showed a lot of improvement with the Jazz this last year. Colin Sexton is an amazing scorer coming off the bench, and he's only, I think, 24. Here, let me look this up real quick. But Colin Sexton is a crazy effective scorer, and as actually was pretty efficient this last year. Yeah, shot 51% from the field, 39% from three, 81% from the free throw line. For his career, he's 46% from the field, 38% from three, 82% from the free throw line. He was averaging 19 points a game for his career, 14 last year. Struggled with injuries last year, but it seems like he's good and healthy and ready to go. And then they also get those four picks. You had a good young forward in Jovic. And then for the Jazz, you take on Tyler Hero and Yusuf Nurkic. So let's look up Yusuf Nurkic here. So Yusuf Nurkic, he has 3 years left on his deal. And the reason I would be okay with the Jazz bringing him in, first off, he's a good player. Secondly, his deal has 3 years left on it. Walker Kessler has 3 years left on his rookie deal. So I would be totally cool with the Jazz taking advantage of the fact that you're not paying Walker Kessler his market rate yet. And paying a backup center a lot of money, because then you're not paying too much for the center position. But Yusuf Nurkic, for his career, 12 points per game, 8 assists, 2 or 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 50% from the field. Great teammate. He's huge. He's listed at 7 foot 290. I bet he's probably closer to like 320, 330. He is a big, big guy. So now all of a sudden he's your backup center. And then, but the real piece that you're getting here is Tyler Hero. So Tyler Hero will be beginning the first year of a 4 year contract at this point. Tyler Hero. Let me pull him up real quick. Tyler Hero is 6'5". Probably about 190 pounds, maybe 200. But for his career, 17.5 points per game, 5 rebounds, 3.5 assists, 44% from the field, 38% from three, 87% from the free throw line. He is way more efficient than what his reputation is. He's seen as like this gunner that just wants to put up tons and tons of shots, but he hits them at a very high clip. Now he's not a great defender. That's the big knock on him. But he's only 23 years old, so he could be part of the Jazz's future, and he could be part of a team that's making a push right now. That's why I like the idea of not giving up a whole ton to get him instead of giving up a lot to get Damian Lillard is Damian Lillard is 33 years old. Maybe you have 3 amazing years of Damian Lillard left, but I don't know if there's going to even be that much because he's a 6'2" guard. Like those guys just, they age quick. They age quicker than wings do, than bigs do. Factoring in staying healthy and all those things. But Tyler Hero is a 6'5", 23-year-old guard, and I love the idea of putting him and Jordan Clarkson together in the backcourt. Jordan Clarkson last year averaged 5 rebounds and 5 assists per game. He learned how to be a distributor and run a bit of the point guard. And Tyler Hero last year averaged 4 assists per game. You put those two together, that's 9. That's not bad. Coming from your starting backcourt, you'll get a couple from Markkanen, you get a couple from Collins, you get a couple from Kessler. I mean, I really like the idea of adding Tyler Hero to this group because then you're adding him to, Clarkson's 31. He's the old man in the room, but he's not even that old. He's really at in his prime. Lauri Markkanen will be 26, I believe. I can look that up real quick. But I believe Lauri Markkanen will be 26. Walker Kessler is 20. He'll be 22 this year. And John Collins will be 26. So you have this group that can win right now. Like, they have enough talent where they can get into the playoffs and they could maybe make some noise in the playoffs. So yeah, so Walker Kessler will be 26 next year. You would then have Walker Kessler or Larry Markkanen. Larry Markkanen will be 26. I think I said Walker Kessler, but Larry Markkanen will be 26 next year. Larry averaged last season 25.5 points, 8.5 rebounds on amazing efficiency. Almost had a 50-40-90 season. And he seems like he's only going to keep getting better. So he's your number one option now. John Collins, Jordan Clarkson, and Tyler Hero can put up 20 any night. Like, I think Tyler Hero would probably become the number two, but Jordan Clarkson and John Collins would be right behind them. And then Walker Kessler is going to be 10 to 14 points. You have a lot of scoring. You're huge. You have good defense. Your shortest guys on the court are 2'6" guards. Now, even though Jordan Clarkson and Tyler Hero aren't the greatest defenders, being 6'5", being athletic, can make up for their defensive deficiencies quite a bit. And then having Walker Kessler back there. And then the rest of your roster, now you have Yusuf Nurkic, who I think has made an all-star team before. Let me look that up. Or has been close to one season. No, he has not made an all-star team. But he had a year with... So his career averages are 12 points, 8.5 rebounds. This last year, he was 13 points, 9 rebounds. The year before, 15 points, 11 rebounds. He had a year in 1920 where he averaged 17.5 points and 10 rebounds. I mean, you bringing that guy off the bench, I mean, even in a bench role, he could probably still go out and get 10 and 6. And, you know, centers all around the NBA, you have to deal with Walker Kessler, and then right behind him is Yusuf Nurkic. Like, you don't get a break. Then at the power forward, you're bringing in the young Taylor Hendricks to back up Collins, which before the draft, before free agency, before the trades, all this, I was saying that the Jazz could really use a John Collins type power forward. I know they are also looking at like Kyle Kuzma in free agency before they got John Collins. Similar, very, very similar players. So in the draft, they get Taylor Hendricks. I'm like, oh, perfect. He is a young John Collins. And is already possibly a better shooter, possibly a better defender. So now they have two John Collins type power forwards, one of them actually being John Collins. You move to the small forward position. You still have Bryce Sensabaugh around. He's going to be a rookie, so you can't really expect a ton out of him. You have Luka Samanich, who will be around, if they decide to keep him after training camp, because he's not on a guaranteed deal. But this, so this trade, getting off of especially Horton Tucker, really opens up some room for Simone Fontecchio, who struggled last year as a shooter. But he was just coming here from Europe, you know, completely new situation, didn't get a ton of time on the court. But really towards the end of the year was showing that he can be an effective NBA player. Then at the two, you would still have Jordan Clarkson. You have Ochai Agbaji, who looks like he could be a Desmond Bane, Norman Powell type producer. You have Bryce Sensabaugh, the rookie. And then at the point guard, of course, you have Tyler Hero now. You still have Chris Dunn, which I think Chris Dunn could play the exact same role that Bruce Brown played for this last year with the Nuggets. And Bruce Brown was a huge reason that the Nuggets were so good this year, ended up winning a championship, and now he just signed a massive deal to go play for the Pacers. I think Chris Dunn could play a very similar role as a super high energy defender off the bench that can handle the ball, can distribute, and can knock down wide open threes, not an insane clip, but at efficient enough to where he's a threat out there. And then of course you have Keyonte George, he just drafted. I mean, this is you do this trade. I think this is a Jazz team that could very easily make it into the playoffs and then really challenge for a second round, maybe even get into the conference finals. I don't It's not enough to win a championship, at least not yet. Walker Kessler has some more growing up to do, but this team is just so young that they have room to grow. Larry Markkanen is still getting used to the fact that he's the number one guy. But this is the way I'd like to see the Jazz go. Instead of trading for Damian Lillard, if they trade for Damian Lillard, I'll be super psyched. But this trade that I've come up with, if they did something like this, you still have tons of picks left to make trades to add to this group. You're young, you have tons of room for these guys to continue to get better. You have the ability for Hero and Markkanen and Kessler to really come together as a group and possibly be together for years and years. The one other rumor that I wanted to bring up that I've been hearing is Colin Sexton to the Bucks. Now, I don't know what the Bucks would send back. It could be something like, Grayson Allen and Pat Connaughton, which are two good role players. I mean, I wouldn't mind having them on the Jazz. It'd be Grayson Allen's second time with the Jazz. But I wonder if the Bucks would be willing to give up Jrue Holiday. If you sent the Bucks Colin Sexton and Horton Tucker, and we'll say, I've tried to do two, but it's probably going to take three first round picks. Could you get Jrue Holiday? Now, Jrue Holiday is also 32, like Damian Lillard, but he's a big guard. 6'5", probably, I mean, he's listed at 205. He's probably close to 225, 230. He is the best defender on the perimeter in the entire NBA. He is an insanely efficient and unique player on the offensive end. Like, he likes to post up as a point guard. Doesn't need the ball in his hands to really be effective. So that's something I would keep an eye on. But just so you know, even though you may not hear a lot of stuff, the Jazz are really, they're on the phones. They are trying to find any way they can to improve this roster, whether it be for this year or for years in the future. I mean, these trade rumors that I brought up, these trade ideas that I brought up, would be to make the team better immediately. The Tyler Hero one would make them better in the future as well. But they could be looking at, a totally different, completely different type of trade where it's like, this is a trade that's going to make us better in 3 years or whatever. Their team is so young, they have so much flexibility that they don't have to go after it right now, but they could. And they could go after it right now and still have enough assets to 2, 3 years from now, make another big push through trade or free agency to add to this group. One other piece of news that the Jazz did get done, they sent Damian Jones to the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm not sure what they're getting back, if it's like a second round pick or cash or I don't know. But it was mostly to open up a roster spot and get off of Damian Jones's money, which opened up money for them to finish off the Colin Sexton or call Jordan Clarkson rather, renegotiate and extend. So Damian Jones is no longer with the Jazz. He is now with the He is now with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Just wanted to put that out there. The NBA offseason is still very, very young right now. We're only, if you're just counting free agency, we're 4 days in. If you're counting the draft, we're like 2 weeks in, basically. But it goes until early October, I think, is when the season starts now. So you can see trades, you can see signings, all kinds of different stuff going on until that point. The majority of the stuff is going to be happening in the, in these, this, you know, the past couple days and then in the next couple weeks. But there could be a lot more stuff coming down the pike as we head further into this off season. Another thing to keep in mind is the James Harden trade request. The Jazz are not involved in that, and I'm really glad that they're not considering bringing in James Harden. But he is on the market and could be another guy that could be moved here pretty soon. But with that, I'm going to go ahead and end today's episode. Thank you all so much for listening. Have a great day and go Jazz!